First Peter chapter 4 is where we will be looking this morning. We're continuing our series on our identity in Christ, understanding who we are. Now that we are saved, that if anyone is in Christ, we are a new creature. And the Lord uses different metaphors to describe who we are in Christ, our responsibilities. And we've looked at being ambassadors for Christ, being soldiers for Christ. And we see in 1 Peter chapter 4, begin reading at verse 7. 1 Peter 4 and verse 7, it says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this day and this opportunity we have to fellowship together. We just pray you would bless as we understand this other aspect of who we are in Christ, what you would have us to do. Help us to fulfill this role that you have called us to, Lord, that you would be honored and glorified. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see in verse number 10, it speaks of that good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And I think stewards is not a word that's used much. If we try to picture a steward, I think probably what first comes to mind is the male version of a stewardess. And we don't usually see many of them around nowadays either. But we understand it's a word that was used greatly for many years. It's maybe passed from our vernacular right now, but the Lord uses it for a reason. And first of all, when we try to understand what a steward is, we recognize above all that a steward is a servant. That he has a master, he is directed, and that he is to serve his master. We see in many different places, in Romans 1:1, we see Paul referring to himself as a servant of Christ. We see that also of James in James 1 and verse 1, and Peter as well refers to himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. We see as well, and we looked at this verse last week a little bit, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 24, where it speaks of us, it says that the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. But all of us are to consider ourselves servants of the Lord. 1 Peter 2 and verse 13 as well, 13 to 16, says, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to kings as supreme unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing he may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God." And so, if the Lord calls us His servants, we recognize that we are to serve Him. He is our master. We are to minister to His desires, do His bidding. Sometimes, of course, and I think especially if we're young in the Lord, we might think, well, it's the other way around, that kind of God's there to do my bidding, that I pray and I ask for it and He's supposed to get it to me. But we want to recognize that certainly the Lord loves us, and that love is manifested in service to us, that He ministers to our needs. We recognize that Christ, when He came, that He took upon a form of a servant, and He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. But we recognize that He lived to provide us an example to follow, that as He served us, as He served His Father, so that we are to serve God and we are to serve others, that we recognize the purpose of our salvation, that we are saved to serve. That's what God has planned for us. And so if we are His servants, we have an expectation upon us, a duty to do, that we read in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14. It says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." That is the thought, that we don't live for ourselves anymore, that we live for him. He has things that we're expected to do, we're to do them each day, and he honors us and thanks us for that, but we recognize that it says that we will say in Luke 17, verse 10, it says, "We are unprofitable servants. We have done what it is our duty to do." And there is so much that we recognize that it is we have a duty as believers to serve Him, to love Him, and to minister for Him. And we recognize as well the word servant. Sometimes we think of a servant, well, that's like a butler or something like that, or a hired man, but the actual word in the Greek is doulos, which its connotation is that of a slave. And we recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ, that He purchased us with our own blood. It says, verse Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20, that we are not our own, that we are bought with a price, and therefore we are to glorify God in our body and our spirit, which are God's. We recognize prior to salvation we were slaves to sin, slaves to the devil. Romans chapter 6 and verse 20. We see Romans 6 verse 20. "For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life." That's what we were slaves to before, to the ways of this world. There was no fruit in that. It just brought destruction. The wages of sin is death. But now we are made servants of God, that we can serve Him, a much kinder master, a master that we can serve with all our heart, with all our life, and know that it'll be worth it. But we recognize as well that we are more than simply servants, and the idea of a steward is something more than just a regular servant. We see in John 15 and verse 15, Jesus said to His disciples, He said, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." And so it isn't something where we're just kind of a lackey or a flunky for God, that we're just sort of there to do kind of the jobs that sort of He wants to pass on to us. Although we recognize that that even in the humble jobs that we can honor Him. But we see that the idea of a steward is something more. If we're to define a steward, he is a servant, but he's a servant who the master of the house has entrusted with the management of the affairs of the house. That if there's something that needs to be purchased, if they need to get food for the provision for everyone to eat, that he looks after that, that he makes sure that all the bills are paid, he makes sure that everyone is fed, everyone gets the wages that they need, that even the children that are not yet of age, that he has responsibility over them. And we see the idea of a steward shown in a couple different places in the Old Testament. We think of Eliezer, the steward of Abraham, spoken of in Genesis chapter 15. And he says, Genesis 15, verse 2, "Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir." That this steward was Eliezer of Damascus, that because Abram was childless at that time, that it was actually the practice that the son of the steward, the son of the chief servant, would become his heir. And of course, that was not necessary. The Lord provided him a son through Isaac. But we see that this servant was entrusted with a very special job, a very important job, and that was to find a bride for his master's son. Genesis chapter 24 gives the story, and where it says, Abraham 24 and verse 2, Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I'll make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And so we see that he was a servant, but he was his eldest servant, his chief servant, that he ruled over all that he had, that Abraham didn't have to look after the details of his house, that this one was entrusted with it. It was his responsibility. We see also that Joseph in Egypt served as a steward of Potiphar's house in Genesis chapter 39. That he was a slave, we recognize. Joseph was brought down to Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh. This is Genesis 39, verse 1. Captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hand of the Midianites, which had brought him down thither, and the Lord God was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord had made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And so we see that Joseph was the steward of the house, the overseer, that he was given the responsibility of everything, that Potiphar didn't even have to think of it. All that he knew was just the meal that was set before him each morning, that he didn't have to concern himself with any of it because Joseph managed it so well. And so when we think of that, and we get more of a glimpse of when God says that we're a steward, we recognize that it is a great responsibility he has put upon our shoulders as believers. That he is departed, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, he will be coming again. He says, occupy till I come. And so we have a great responsibility. We act as his representative. We manage the affairs that he has placed into our hands. It is a great responsibility. We have with that a great authority. Yet we also recognize a great accountability, that if he entrusts us with these things, that we have to fulfill what he asks us to do. Otherwise, we will be in serious trouble. And so when we see this, that we're servants of the Lord, we belong to him, he's entrusted us with this, that we want to recognize that everything we have in our possession, everything that we possess physically, spiritually, all of that belongs to him. And it's given to us by him. We think of the time that we have. We don't know how long we have upon this earth. 24 hours a day is all that we get, and we are to use it wisely. It is a resource that is precious. It's non-renewable. We only have so much, and we're to use it to honor and glorify him. He gives us different talents, different abilities. We're to use to honor him, to bring glory to him. We have different resources at our disposal, that they're not given just to accomplish our purposes, to satisfy us, to be given for our own gratification. We realize that God has given them for his purposes, for his glory, and that we're not to waste those things, that we are going to give an account. And we see in this verse we read, 1 Peter 4, verse 10, that it speaks that we are stewards of the manifold grace of God, that we understand that we are saved by grace through faith, that the Lord has given abundantly unto us. And from what he has given to us of his grace, we recognize grace to be God's unmerited favor poured out upon us. We think of it as the ability that He gives us to be servants for Him. We think of mercy, that it's the fact that though we were sinners, yet He cleansed us of our sin, that we're forgiven. But His grace is one step beyond, that not only are we forgiven, but He allows us to be His servants. He allows us to minister for Him, to be witnesses for Him, to honor Him in our lives. And so we recognize that this grace that He's given. And we see in verse 11 of that same passage, it says, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." That He's given us an ability to serve Him, to serve others. These are what we speak of as spiritual gifts, spoken of in 1 Corinthians 12 and other places, that they're for the blessing of others, that God has given them not for us to kind of keep to ourselves, but to be used to bless other people, to be used in the service of Him. It says in Romans 12 and verse 3, it says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering," and so on. That whatever the Lord gives us, that it's not an ability that we had before, it's an ability that we have through the Holy Spirit to minister to others, to be a blessing to others, and so He's entrusted us with that. And we think of it that we're stewards of the manifold grace of God, that it's abundant, that it's complex, that there's so many different facets to it, that it's such a glorious thing, that it has been given to us, entrusted to us, and that we are to dispense it according to His will, so that it might glorify Him and that it might be a blessing to others. So if we recognize ourselves as being stewards, having what we have belong to the Lord, that we're to use not for ourselves but for Him, we recognize, well, what is important? What does my focus need to be if I'm a steward of the Lord? And we see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, if you turn there with me. First Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, 1 Corinthians 4, 1, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." And we recognize that. If God has entrusted us with something, that He has placed His trust upon us, that He believes that we can measure up, He's given us everything that we need so that we can fulfill what He would have us to do, and it's required in us that we be found faithful. And sometimes that's what we think, well, I can't really be used of the Lord. I don't have a lot of abilities. I don't have a lot of things that I can do. I don't feel confident in that. But the important thing is that we're faithful in whatever God has called us to do, that we would do it. We recognize how important that is. We see the Lord speaks in Luke chapter 12 of the times of the end. He says, "And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and he shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers." And so we think of that how important our faithfulness is, that we are to be faithful, wise stewards that we are watching, we are waiting, that we are doing what we are told to do from the Scriptures. Because it's something we recognize in our own lives, that how important faithfulness is. That it's something that it takes such a long time to build up a reputation of faithfulness, and it can take just a moment of breaking that. But it is so valuable. We think in Proverbs 20, verse 6, it says, every man will proclaim his own goodness, but a faithful man who shall find. That it's, I've experienced that sometimes with different companies that I've gotten on with, and I wonder, well, I don't necessarily know everything there is, and I'm not as maybe as skilled as some of these others, sort of thing, and so I'm not sure if when the layoffs come, whether you'll make the cut. But then just the fact sometimes that you're there every day is more than what a lot of the other ones do, and so just being faithful is something that is valuable, something that is so often lacking today, that a person can be counted upon. It speaks in Proverbs 25 verse 19 that a confidence in an unfaithful man is like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint, something that you're relying upon, but just when you have to rely upon them fully, then they're not there, they're not available, they're not where they should be, and it's a disappointment, it's a source of frustration. And so we realize that of all the things in our Christian life, if we can simply be faithful, that the Lord will honor that. And we see the nature as well, that we think, well, there's all these big things I have to do, and how am I going to measure up to those things? How am I going to be faithful in that? But in Luke chapter 16, the Lord gives this principle. He says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? And that's kind of the understanding we have in life, say if it's with our kids, that we give them responsibility, and it might be something small, but we see, well, how do they do with it? Are they faithful? Are they responsible in it? And if they are, then we give them more responsibility. If it's something that, if they're crashing their bike, their pedal bike all the time, we're reluctant to give them the keys to the car when they get older. That it's just the thought that if we're faithful in what's little, we're going to be faithful in the big things. And that's some that we want to realize in our Christian life, that there's so many things that we can overlook that we think maybe aren't that important. But just little things of being faithful, just spending time faithfully, studying God's Word, praying for others, just working day by day, trying to influence others for good. If you have children, trying to raise them for the Lord, that we recognize that we can't try to teach them everything about God in one session. It'll just, their brains will overload, and it has to do what it says in the Old Testament, that it has to be precept upon precept, line upon line, that sometimes you know you have to repeat things probably 20 times before it finally sinks in, but there's that faithfulness that we keep at it. And so that's the idea, that we want to be faithful. And so that is the question. If we are stewards of God, if this is that God has placed us in a position of responsibility as believers, we want to ask ourselves, are we faithful? Do we do what He asks of us? We recognize that He is also always faithful to us, that He never abandons us, even though that we can fail Him, that He yet abides faithful. And if that is the truth, then we want to be faithful to Him as well. We want to think that with what we have, all that He has given us, what have we done with what He has entrusted us with? Our time, our talents, our resources, the spiritual gifts that He gives us, the grace of God, even the gospel, that we we recognize it. When we've trusted Christ as Savior, we trusted in the gospel, and it's not something, of course, that we keep to ourselves. It's something that we're to give out as many people as we can. And it's not something that we give it out that we're going to run out, but it's something that we want to share, that we want to bless others with, so that they too might be saved. And that's the thing, that God has given us this grace, and what are we going to do with it? We think of Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, rather, verse 10, that he was made an apostle. He didn't feel that he was meet to be called an apostle because he persecuted the church of God. But we see in verse 10, it says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." That he had been such an awful sinner, persecutor of God's people. He tried to destroy the Christian faith, but God was merciful to him. God redeemed him, and he said, "Well, because of that, what he has done to me, that grace that he bestowed upon me, it's not going to be in vain. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to be faithful." And we see that he was. He said at the end of his life, he said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." And we see as well, if you turn with me finally to Matthew chapter 25, we see this parable that the Lord gives. Trying to explain things of eternity to us. It says, Matthew 25, verse 14, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling in a far country who called his servants and delivered unto them his goods." Verse 15, "Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digging the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came, and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto them, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not straw. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not straw. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should receive mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For every one that hath shall be given, he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast the unprofitable servant in outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And we think of this, and we recognize that we want to be as the first 2 servants, where he says, "Well done, good and faithful servants." They were faithful over a few things, and God honored them, God blessed them. That we think when the Lord establishes his kingdom, they were faithful, and that they would rule and reign with him. But yet this one that was unfaithful, that even though he was still a servant, yet it was like on the outside looking in, that all the blessings that he could have had a part in, he didn't get to enjoy as he could have if he'd been faithful. And we want to think of that, that with all that the Lord has given us, all of the resources we have at our disposal, the grace of God that has been so abundant to us, what are we doing with it? What are we holding it in? Are we giving it out? Are we being faithful in what he has called us to do? That it isn't that the Lord calls us to do great things necessarily. So often it's doing the little things. That if we are doing the little things faithfully, even though the world may not notice it, the world may not recognize it, he will honor us for that. And so may the Lord help us that we would be faithful, that we would be wise and what He has given us, that we would be good stewards of the manifold grace of God, that He would be honored, that His grace would be spread forth to those around us, and that we would be blessed in hearing that word from Him. Well done, good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You again for Your word. We recognize of how it speaks to us and often shows us where we need to grow, where we need to draw close to You. Lord, we pray You would help us to be faithful. We recognize in our own strength we cannot be, but we know that You can give of Your grace abundantly so that we can do what You would have us to do. You would give us wisdom to use what You have given us for Your glory, for the blessing of others. And just pray You would use us to be a blessing to those around us, Lord, that we would be good stewards of Your grace. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand. We'll turn to one more hymn, hymn 148, singing, "Will Jesus Find Us Watching?" Hymn 148.